Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
That tape from April of 2011 that surfaced this week of General David Petraeus, still top commander in Afghanistan, talking to a Fox News commentator, raised a lot of ethical questions about Fox News president Roger Ailes. On the tape, Kathleen McFarland tells Petraeus that Ailes has sent her to Afghanistan to tell General Petraeus that Ailes, a Republican, wants Petraeus to run for president. But ears are picking up about another portion of the tape, in which Petraeus says he sees his real opportunity at the CIA. Here's an edited portion of that part of the interview.
I think that's a national asset. I think it's a treasure. I think that organization is full of just heroes, unsung heroes, which is the way they want to be.
And I agree with you that that's so, the Arab Spring. You lose it or win it.
We're not going to go out do much more. I don't think. I mean, I was surprised we did Libya. We're going to be retrenching militarily. I mean, I think the other folks, on the other hand, I think are going to be in a growth industry.
You mean so. Obamacare?
Intelligence.
No, he means intelligence. General Petraeus there, just about 2 weeks away from being appointed head of the CIA, a job, of course, he recently stepped down from after an extramarital affair, saying on the tape there that he thinks that the CIA is the place to be, not the military. Well, maybe it's in response, but according to a recent story in the Washington Post, the Pentagon, the military, is increasingly getting into the spy business itself, with plans to send hundreds of additional spies overseas, an espionage network that will rival the CIA. Greg Miller covers national intelligence for the Post. We'll link you at herenow.org. But as Greg joins us from the Post studios in D.C., tell us your thoughts, first of all, when you heard that Petraeus tape.
It sounds like the Pentagon maybe agrees with the Petraeus assessment, and that may be why they're, again, expanding into the espionage area. But, you know, it just reminded me of how Petraeus had quietly campaigned for that CIA job, and it helps to explain why. I mean, he comes out of this highly decorated military career, and it made a lot of people sort of puzzled as to why he would want to go run the CIA after that. But he saw that as where the action would be, and many people think that he's probably right.
Well, you have a sense of how much action there is actually going to be. But let's start with an explainer. Remind us, what is the difference between the CIA and the military?
Well, that as you pointed out, that distinction has blurred.
Right.
But traditionally, the military carries out lethal operations to protect the United States' national interest, while the CIA's fundamental mission has always been about intelligence collection. And as I said, what's interesting now is those boundaries have blurred. Outside of the war zones, the CIA now, I think it's safe to assume, carries out more lethal operations than does the Pentagon through its drone campaign in Pakistan and in Yemen. I mean, it is killing more people outside of Iraq and Afghanistan than the U.S. military.
Yeah. Well, and many in the U.S. military are getting killed because they're the ones, we still have boots on the ground. And so obviously someone's looking at that equation and saying, wait a second, why don't we do more drone attacks from here instead of sending people there, with boots on the ground?
Well, and the military has expanded its role in the use of drones. I mean, the drones were used to a great extent in the war zones of Iraq and Afghanistan, but I think people don't realize how many of the drone strikes that happen beyond those war zones are now run by the military as well. Yemen is the best example. In Yemen, the United States is pursuing an al-Qaeda affiliate that has attempted to carry out a number of attacks on the United States, and it's doing so with two weapons. One, drones that are operated by the CIA, and two, a separate collection of drones that are armed that are operated by the U.S. Joint Special Operations Command, which is the military's elite counterterrorism and commando force.
Well, but I guess my question about, describing these two entities, the CIA and the military, is about trying to figure out, is there supposed to be a firewall? Are they supposed to, work together? Are they supposed to share information? The Pentagon has always had, as you said, its own intelligence gathering. Is the CIA supposed to add to that? And one of the reasons we ask is that former Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld tried to expand the Defense Department's intelligence But that led to turf battles with the CIA. So what is supposed to be the distinction between the two? And is everybody on board this time with this idea of the military having more intelligence?
Well, it's interesting because I think we're just beginning to have a debate on what are the appropriate roles of these institutions inside the White House. I mean, Obama's top terrorism advisor, John Brennan, voices real discomfort with how lethal the CIA has become, how much it now is focused on the carrying out of targeted killings through drone strikes. And, I mean, one of the main concerns is as the roles of these entities blur, perhaps you risk losing focus and proficiency in what is supposed to be their core mission. So
which is gathering intelligence.
Right. Yeah. If the CIA is spending a lot of its energy trying to find targets to hit with drone strikes, how much energy does it have left to focus on gathering intelligence on China and other important national security issues?
Well, let me ask you this. So there is some tension, but we also understand from early New York Times reporting that it's President Obama who's supposedly behind this so-called kill list, that he's the final arbiter of who these drones go after. But now we're really also understanding that General Petraeus made this move from the military to the CIA. You know, he certainly wasn't the first to do the drone strikes, but they seem to increase under his watch. Who's responsible for this shift?
Well, ultimately, the president is obviously responsible. I mean, the CIA as an organization doesn't do things that its president doesn't want it to do. I mean, it exists largely to serve the president, to provide intelligence to the president, but to carry out covert action that the president wants it to undertake. And this president has a real affinity for covert action, has demonstrated a real affinity for using the CIA in a very expansive way. And even if the President Obama signs off on the targets for many drone strikes, and in some cases even signs off on decisions to carry out strikes. But even more broadly, I mean, it is through his authority that he has given the CIA that all of its drone strikes are conducted. So it all traces back to President Obama ultimately.
Yeah. But as we said in the past under former Secretary of Defense Don Rumsfeld, when this was suggested, more intelligence gathering by the military, there were turf battles with the intelligence agency. You just mentioned some tension from parts of the White House over the increased role of the CIA with these drone strikes. And we'd also asked if everyone in the CIA and the military is on board. Sounds from your writing like they are. We're going to have more after a break with Greg Miller, National Intelligence Reporter for The Washington Post. Meanwhile, your thoughts on the military mimicking the CIA? Let us know, hereandnow.org. More in 1 minute, Here and Now. Welcome back to our conversation with Greg Miller of The Washington Post, who recently reported about a further blurring of the lines between the Pentagon and the CIA. The Pentagon out with a new plan to get deeper into the spy business. Now, before the break, we heard about past tensions between the two agencies when the military wanted to get more involved intelligence, but also tension now from parts of the White House over current CIA drone strikes. But this time around, Greg Miller, with this new plan you described, the two seem to be working hand in glove. You write that the 5-year Pentagon plan calls for as many as 1,600 new military spies trained by the CIA.
That's the most interesting thing to me, is that you're right. In the past, especially under Defense Secretary Rumsfeld, whenever the Pentagon would make a move toward expanding its intelligence operations, it would always trigger this really intense turf battle. And a lot of times the Pentagon was forced to sort of pull back. But in this case, you have almost in complete CIA buy-in for this Pentagon plan. And there's a couple reasons for that. I would say there are three main reasons. One is the personalities that are in position now. You have this unprecedented crossover in the senior leadership ranks of both these organizations. You have a Secretary of Defense who used to run the CIA. His top intelligence official at the Pentagon is a former CIA operative. You have, until recently at the CIA, before Petraeus stepped down, he had obviously been one of the most highly decorated military generals of his generation. And if you go down through the ranks, you'll see more and more of those kinds of connections. There's another factor here at work as well. So in this case, this deal that the CIA has cut with the Pentagon was enabled by the fact that the CIA gets to have ultimate sort of control over what the Pentagon is doing. So it doesn't – whatever the Pentagon ends up doing, it's not going to undermine CIA operations. And secondly, the CIA is so stretched that it welcomes the chance to have this other entity that it can offload work to. So the Pentagon has lots and lots of intelligence questions. It would love for the CIA to spend all of its time gathering intelligence just for the Pentagon. The CIA doesn't want to do that. It works for the president. So now it can say, here, Pentagon, let the DIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency, handle all of your questions. We're going to stay focused on what we do best.
Right. Well, you say the whole project was triggered by a classified study by the Director of National Intelligence, this is last year, that concluded that key Pentagon intelligence priorities were falling into these gaps that were created by the Defense Department's intelligence agencies' focus on battlefield issues and the CIA's workload. They just had too much to do. So there's this gap in intelligence. I'm wondering if there could be another aspect here. We remember post-9/11 discovering that, you know, how little intelligence we had. Is this sort of a decade-long understanding that intelligence is the name of the game?
That's what Petraeus was talking about on the tape that you started a segment with. I mean, he is alluding to that very phenomenon, that post-9/11, the investment in intelligence has been off the charts. And now, as the United States comes out of these two wars, as Petraeus said, the military faces significant retrenchment. While intelligence agencies, they're not going to see big increases in their budgets anytime soon, but they're not going to face the same level of retrenchment either. One of the lessons coming out of 9/11 has only been reinforced over the past decade, that you can't afford to start cutting back on intelligence or the consequences could be dire.
Well, it's also, you know, it's not about massive armies that will, you know, invade a region and whack one guy, you know, with a terrible plan to take down a building. It's not about that anymore. It's about finding the guy.
You're right. I mean, it's about two things here. You have the nature of this conflict with al-Qaeda in particular comes down to eliminating individuals who are perceived as threats, who are accused of being behind plots against the United States. And that's just not something that requires large land forces to carry out. I mean, that's why the drone has emerged as the most potent weapon in that fight. And secondly, this is a White House. This is a president who really favors this sort of small-scale, secret, espionage-driven kind of warfare over the big conventional kind of set-piece battles that used to define the military.
Yeah, but one is much more transparent. What are the questions raised by this move by the military?
The trouble with all of this blurring is that you have systems in Washington, systems in government that are designed to keep track of who's doing what. And when you start blurring these roles, then activity, really sensitive activity, starts to fall into the seams. So you have congressional committees, for instance, that follow either the armed services or the intelligence agencies. But when intelligence agencies are doing military-like operations and vice versa, a lot of that spillover gets caught between those committees. So there's no committee that's in position to see the whole picture.
Yeah, we asked Boston University's Andrew Basevich, a Vietnam vet and, of course, a military analyst, about your story, and he said the same thing. He said, well, in addition, it might be more complicated than the words about it suggest. Agencies will probably step on each other. There might still be some of those turf battles. But then there is the question of accountability. If more and more Pentagon activities slip into the black world that the CIA operates in, you know, who knows what's happening? The reflexive answer is congressional oversight. But as he said, one wonders.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had people say that they're worried that as much as the CIA welcomes this move by the Pentagon, it may live to regret it because, as many people sort of use the camel's nose in the tent analogy, and to say once the military begins to move in this direction, it'll be hard to dislodge it. But I think that's a risk that the CIA is willing to take here.
And can they do it without General Petraeus? I mean, how much is he going to be missed? He sounds like a real architect here.
Well, I think he was deeply in favor of this, but I think that sentiment runs through other senior officials at the CIA. I don't think there's going to be any risk that this is going to come unraveled because Petraeus left. You talked about this being triggered by a study set up by the Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, who, again, is another retired high-ranking military official who was in charge of the U.S. intelligence agencies. So the blurring and the convergence of the military and intelligence is a trend that I think is going to continue.
Greg Miller, National Intelligence Reporter for The Washington Post. Greg, thanks as always.
Sure, thank you.
So some voices saying it's about time convert soldiers in combat to intelligence agents. Also voices of concern. Either way, add yours at hereandnow.org. And while there, weigh in on the debate over photos in the news, especially the one of the man on the subway tracks. In the next half hour, we're going to talk about pictures that sparked an equal outcry, but some won Pulitzers. That's after the latest news. Here and Now.